Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I got a really nice note from the Small Batch Southern Recipe Pork Rinds people. I mean, it's really one person who wrote the note. But for those of you who were at, well, you were at Miami with us in spirit because you listened to our shows from Super Bowl week in Miami. And you know that every year, including this one, we do an interview with a Hall of Famer who is there courtesy of Gridiron Greats, which is Mike Ditka's foundation to raise awareness and money for players of previous eras, including Hall of Famers, who don't have benefits and don't have sometimes the money to pay their bills or buy groceries. So Jack Youngblood, that's who we talked to this year on Radio Row. And he was fantastic, a Hall of Famer who once played three games in the postseason with a broken leg. And then along with our Hall of Famers every year, we have Mark Singleton on the show. And Mark has been really good to me. He's the vice president of Rudolph Foods Company. And they are the ones who do small batch Southern Recipe pork rinds. And every time they have a new batch out, they send us some samples. And this time he sent me some samples as well as a nice note. Thanks so much for helping us get the word out about the Gridiron Greats and all the former players we are helping. 2020 will be our best pork rind appreciation day yet. We hope you enjoy the rinds. Happy trails, Mark. So he always writes me a nice note, sometimes send me emails during the year when he hears the show, and sends us samples. I'm holding a bag. In fact, this is one of two. We opened up two bags of small batch pork rinds on the show. Did you know there are 87? Well, I'm holding in my hand a bag of pork rinds with recipe number 87. I didn't know there were that many. This is astounding. A surprising blend of tart, sweet, and spicy. Pineapple ancho chili. Wait, is it ancho or ancho? See, I feel like when you speak Espanol, it can't be ancho.
Ancho.
It's ancho, exactly. Okay. Our pineapple ancho chili pork rinds. Surprising blend of tart, sweet, and spicy. Now, I will just readily admit, there are some that I don't really like the taste. So will you tell me what that bag is? Spicy dill, is that what it is? Okay, so recipe number 30, excuse me, this is 87. Recipe number 30 is spicy dill, which I tried and I made a face. And it's nothing personal, but I don't think I can do the spicy dill pork rinds. But these pineapple ancho chili, I've eaten half the bag. Because you know how you, this happens to me with Hint of Lime chips. You get a chip, or in this case, a pork rind every now and then, it's covered with the seasoning. You almost want to lick the seasoning off. It's so thick. So I keep trying them so that I can get the ones that are covered with seasoning. And while you can't taste pineapple on every single one of the pork rinds, every now and then you get a burst of pineapple flavor. So it's not a heavy pineapple flavor. It's not like it's dipped in pineapple juice or anything, but every now and then you get a bit of the sweet from the pineapple. These are pretty amazing. Gluten-free. They've only a half a gram of saturated fat, which is nice. 8 grams of protein, hardly any sugar. Big, bold, adventurous, gluten-free, if that's something you care about. Fried in sunflower oil. Does it sound like I'm doing one of those commercials that I voice?
And honestly, the bottom line is, I heard belts.
Honestly, they did not put me up to this. I'm just stunned that there are at least 87 recipes and that I've eaten most of this bag. So thanks to Mark for sending us some pineapple ancho chili flavored pork rinds. Again, Southern Recipe small batch pork rinds. And if you have heard my commercials, many of you have, they've asked me to voice their commercials. And so if you've heard them, well, you can send me a note, but this is what happens all throughout the year. Now, I thought they were just for football playoff season, so the month of January and on into February. But I have friends that will send me texts telling me they just heard me selling pork rinds on the radio. all through the year, even when it's not football season. Hey, did I just hear you voice a commercial for pork rinds? We don't hear the commercials here inside our CBS Sports Radio studios. We don't hear the commercials. So I don't know what's airing on your local affiliates or on SiriusXM 206. I do know that my voice is distinct enough that it makes you think of pork rinds. That's what I get out of this whole deal. So that's cool. Thank you, Mark. And thank you to Jack Youngblood and the other Hall of Famers who've been part of our show. And I'm telling you, go out and try these pineapple ancho chili. Really good. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. I'll stop crinkling the bag now, even though it's hard for me to put it down. 855-212-4227 is our toll-free line. We're live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studios. They found a better way to mortgage so you can focus on making your new house a home. Rocket Mortgage, push button, get mortgage. Yet again, another post on our Facebook page. Haven't we talked about the Astros enough? Has to be other sports stories by now. Yeah, you mean like Drew Brees returning in the interview we did from New Orleans earlier in the show? Or like the Baylor men setting a new Big 12 record, winning 23 games straight? Yep, talked about that too. How about Kim Mulkey with her 600 career wins in 700 games? Yep, got that. I mean, I'm talking about other things, but you know what? The only legitimate calls that I'm getting, the only actual reaction on our Facebook and Twitter pages are about the Astros. I do want to pass on, though, not that it's going to stem the tide with the Astros conversation. I mean, why are you blaming the media? Blame Aaron Judge if you want. He was the one who was talking about it on Tuesday. Or how about blame Nick Markakis, who says they need a beating? Or blame Ryan Zimmerman? I mean, come on. I'm just doing what I have to do. This is my job. Anyway, I do want to pass along that Ryan Newman was awake and talking on Tuesday, not even 12 hours after he suffered that really scary crash at Daytona in the last lap. And we knew that his injuries were not considered life-threatening, according to the doctors, that he was in serious condition. But great to hear that he was awake and that he was talking, that he was able to talk. That's phenomenal. It's really a tribute to the safety precautions they take with the cages where the drivers sit, the head and neck restraints, and how they protect them. And Ryan Newman, actually, he's one of the veterans in NASCAR. He's been a big advocate of taking any and every safety precaution and implementing all safety measures that they come up with. You know, you go back to Dale Earnhardt's death in 2001 at Daytona, and that was right when they were putting in the new head and neck restraints. They're actually called Hans. And Dale Earnhardt hated them. He felt like they were too restricted, he didn't have any, you know, range in order to move his neck around, to move his head back and forth. He didn't like the fact that they restricted his peripheral vision. And so he really didn't want to use the new Hans devices. Now they're standard, of course, they're required, as well as some of the other safety measures. And Ryan Newman's been on the forefront of that as someone who's well-known in NASCAR, who's a veteran who kind of spans a couple of different ages here, even as NASCAR turns over and so many of the veteran drivers are retiring. You know, he's one of the voices that people know and will listen to. And those safety measures that he advocates for may very well have saved his life. So it's good to know that he was speaking and that he's going to survive this. I don't know the extent of his injuries yet. They're not releasing any of that, but that was good news on Tuesday. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence here on CBS Sports Radio. I promised you could hear from the World Series champions. Ryan Zimmerman would like to remind everyone that no matter what the Astros were doing, they could not win the World Series just a few months ago.
Can't have that stuff happen. When you mess with the integrity of the game and the product, the competition, the fairness of the game, you know, that's the biggest thing that we have. I think that's what, you know, the fans come and they want to watch the game that they're supposed to watch. You know, the two teams competing to try and win a game, and when there's not fairness in that game, I think it's the biggest problem you can have for a sport. They need a better video to beat us, so that's all I'll end it.
That is Ryan Zimmerman's version of trash talking right there. Ryan Zimmerman, they need a better video system to beat us. Though, let's be fair, there is no evidence that they were cheating in 2019. But still, it's got to be nice to be able to say that, right? What a run the Nationals had. And there's the positive of Tuesday, hearing from the Nationals on NBC Sports Washington. So as their spring training moves forward, some of these Nationals are speaking for the first time. That's what put me right back into October and what a great month of October we had and how much drama there was and how much fun it was. And ultimately, the Nationals win their first ever World Series title and get all kinds of monkeys off their backs. It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio. Howie Kendrick, another one of the veterans from that Nationals World Series team. And he feels like what the Astros did is not just bad for them, but it's bad for all of baseball.
You cheat, you cheat. You know, there's no fairness in that. And, you know, obviously you have a choice. You either choose to do it or you don't. And obviously they chose to do it. And you should have to live with those consequences. You know, nobody's going to have any remorse for you. You know, and actually going out, putting out public service announcements and things like that, I don't think that's really cool. You know, you got caught doing something. I think you should just be quiet and go about your business and let your play talk. You know, if you weren't doing it and you're honest that you weren't doing it, we'll find out this season. They got a lot of really good players. And, you know, honestly, they win without doing that stuff. So, you know, the fact that they actually got caught doing it, I mean, it just makes them look that much worse.
Howie Kendrick, Ryan Zimmerman, veterans from the National squad, talking about the Astros mess for the first time on NBC Sports Washington. However, neither one of them advocated that the Astros needed a good beating. That's all Nick Markakis. Let's talk to Bear, who's listening in Detroit. Welcome to After Hours, CBS Sports Radio.
Amy, it's good to talk to you. I'm telling you, I've dreaded this call. I look forward to this call in the same way.
Why did you dread it?
Well, I'm 55 years old, and okay. I had a heart attack in May of last year. I've listened to you for a long time. I've talked to you, and I haven't talked to you since I had a widowmaker. And, you know, it's funny, Amy, listening to all this, you know, so much has ever occurred since May, since I almost died. I'm so grateful I was at work, because when I dropped and I hit the floor, you know, there was a man that was there that was able to you know, I went into cardiac arrest and he brought me back to life, you know, and I went to the hospital and I had three blockages in my arteries and the cardiologist was able to bring me back. So I tell you, Amy, it's so funny, you know, to look upon sport, I'm a Detroit fan. I'm 55 years old, and I have this privilege of listening to the Tigers 84 World Series and the wonderful, you know, the Red Wings, you know, and all their championships and the Pistons, and listening to this, you know, this cheating scale of the Houstons. You know, no, there's nothing that can be changed. But, you know, for me, the perspective is I want to talk to you more. I appreciate you more. You know, it was funny because when I woke up and they said, you know, you've had a heart attack, you know, and I was able to hear your voice after, you know, to be dead and then to be brought back to life, Amy, you know, more important to me was with this call right now versus than anything else, you know, because it's funny. It puts in perspective. You know, And all the things that, you know, when Kobe Bryant has passed away and that poor lady from LSU has passed away, you know, I don't know why God allowed me to live, you know, I'm so grateful, but I'm so happy to be able to hear your voice. And that's the thing. It's been so weird because I just wanted to call you and I want your listeners to know, there's a song that Don Henley wrote and he says, in a New York minute, I tell you, you never know. We're not promised tomorrow. You know, we're only promised today. And again, Amy, I'm telling you, I'm so happy to be able to talk to you.
Well, it's really good to talk to you too, sir. Thank you so much for calling up. And I'm glad we could keep you company. But mostly, I'm glad that you not only survived, but can now spread this message, which is that you shouldn't take anything for granted, and we should appreciate every moment we get on this earth with the people we love, with the things that we get to do, and it's all a gift, it's all a blessing, and you have been blessed with a lot more days, Bear, so thank you for calling and sharing that story with us.
Thank you, Andy. I'm thank you. I really, boy, it's been, I'm telling you, I've wanted to call you for so long. I mean, it's just, I've been afraid, but I'm so happy to be able to still hear your voice. I'm the same. I'm sorry.
No, you don't have to be sorry. It's one of those moments in our lives where we come face to face with our mortality that we never forget. It's like, my situation's different, but once came really close to being in a very serious car accident, and it definitely does open your eyes. Like, wow, that's how quickly life can change. And of course, we all have people that we've lost, without having a chance to say goodbye. They were gone suddenly. You mentioned Kobe Bryant. Nothing's guaranteed. Life is precious, and it's also fleeting. And I'm so glad that you called and that you still have a chance to listen to the show, but more importantly, that you still have a chance to live your life and get so much out of it.
Thanks, Amy. Thank you so much for letting me call.
You're welcome.
I really appreciate it.
All right. Don't be a stranger. Take care of yourself.
Okay.
Okay. Thanks. Bye, Bear. Well, that's not what I expected, but I'm glad to hear his story. It's a really good reminder. And it's too bad sometimes, and I'm not saying you, I'm saying us, I'll put myself in the same boat, that it takes a sudden death, an untimely death, a shocking death, or an illness, or a close call with death that reminds us we shouldn't take it for granted. I'm guilty of that. But I think as I get older, and I have more friends who've lost parents, and more friends or even family members. I've got a distant family member who's going through breast cancer for a second time right now, and she's not that much older than I am. It's one of those things when you get older, the death becomes more more a part of your daily life. It's around you everywhere. My grandmother is 7 weeks away from turning 98, and I don't take any of my time with her for granted. I always wonder when I hang up the phone or when I leave her in Wisconsin, and will it be the last time I talk to her, the last time I see her? And so really the message is to make the most of the time we have, and definitely make the most of the time we have to spend with the people that we care about and who care about us. All right, you can find us on Twitter, After Hours CBS, also on our Facebook page. What are your questions for me? Ask Amy anything about 20 minutes away. And our phone number, 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4CBS. Thanks for joining us. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast.
You'll be happy to know I did not do my latest CBS Sports Minute on the Astros. I couldn't do two in a row. It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio. Producer Chris put up a poll based on a question that we had earlier on the show from a caller. He was wondering whether or not all of these Astros could be kept out of the Hall of Fame. Now, if you're wondering, Major League Baseball does not run Cooperstown. It's the National Baseball Hall of Fame. It's a completely separate management. For instance, even though Pete Rose is banned for life from Major League Baseball, he's not technically banned from the Hall of Fame, though they've chosen not to go against what baseball has done in the case of Pete Rose. They could, but they've chosen not to. It's writers who vote for those who are inducted into the Hall of Fame. So the commissioner of baseball can't say, oh, none of these guys can get into the Hall of Fame. That's their punishment. He has absolutely no control over that. So we've got a poll up. Would you keep Astros players like Justin Verlander out of the Hall of Fame because of their association with the 2017 Astros? That to me seems like a really stiff penalty for a pitcher who likely didn't benefit a whole lot from the Astros sign stealing. Not to mention, he was traded into that 2017 clubhouse. And yes, Justin Verlander was part of that World Series team. But in 2019, he had one of his best seasons ever. Won another Cy Young at 36 years old. About to be 37. The man turns 37 on February 20th. Thursday, February 20th. Would you really keep Justin Verlander out of the Hall of Fame because he was on that 2017 Astros team? And furthermore, if you think about his resume, he didn't need to win the World Series in 2017 to be a Hall of Famer, in my opinion. I don't have a vote. I'm not a baseball writer. But I can't imagine Verlander not in the Hall of Fame because of this. I don't know about some of the other guys. But Verlander? That to me seems extreme and wrong. However, Barry Bonds, Mark McGwire, these guys, a lot of the guys that are associated with PEDs also cheating, they don't look like they're going to get in, despite the fact that their resumes before PEDs were likely good enough to get them in the hall on their own merits. So you can find that poll on Twitter, After Hours CBS. Also send your questions for Ask Amy Anything. And then on our Facebook page, same thing, After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Let's take a quick phone call here. Mike is in Ohio. Welcome to After Hours.
Are you, am I on?
Yep.
Okay, sorry. Your thing cut in and out. I didn't hear my name.
It's okay.
No, I was just calling in to say I had talked to a radio show earlier, but didn't get my point across on that one. I'm from Cleveland, and in 2017, we had like 102 wins during the regular season and then got swept by the Astros in the first round of the playoffs.
Right.
Right. So there's a little bit of, you know, animosity towards Astros here, you know, a little bit. But what I wanted to say earlier was I feel like the fans of baseball could get back at the Astros themselves if you just didn't turn on the Astros game or when the Astros were in town, didn't go to the ballpark, and then just kind of sit there and take out their revenue through ratings and through, you know, revenue in the stands.
Okay, so what you're saying is whenever the Astros are in town, the fans boycott those games. Whenever the Astros are on TV, fans boycott those broadcasts so that there's a noticeable lack of ticket money and also a noticeable drop in ratings when the Astros are showcased.
Right.
Okay. I mean, do you think you could get enough people to do it that it would matter?
See, I don't exactly know, but you know, I feel like as a fan, that would be the only thing that I personally could do to the Astros to slightly get back at what they did during the 2017 series, because you never know, the Indians could have won and gotten a World Series in that year.
Right. Right. I mean, there's a lot that we'll never know. My only thing with that, my response would be, you're not just hurting the Astros, though. You're hurting the other team. So let's just say the Astros are in town to play the Indians. Really, who you're hurting is the Indians, because they wouldn't be able to reap the benefits of selling all those tickets. And honestly, Mike, while I do feel like it would send a really strong message, forget the money, forget the bottom line part of it. It would send a very strong message that the Astros are tainted and tarnished. But don't you think there are a lot of fans who want to show up just so they can heckle the Astros this year?
And don't get me wrong. Believe me, I understand that whole side of it, too. Like, I would sit there and go to the game just to boo them as well. But, you know, I feel like a kind of a dagger in the back to them would be, you know, I mean, there's plenty of other games during the regular season and even playoffs to get that money, you know what I mean? And if you sell out every other game except for the ones that the Astros are in,
yes,
I don't know how much of a cut that they would really be hurting on. You know?
No, but baseball would notice. I mean, baseball would notice if you had empty parks. Baseball would notice if the ratings completely tanked. The TV idea, I think, is intriguing. But honestly, I think you're going to have way too many people who want to go to the park with their trash cans, you know, with their signs, with their booze all primed and ready to go. So that might be an uphill battle. But if the TV ratings were really down for any Astros games, especially if they're on national TV, I think that actually would send a very strong message. Mike, I have to let you go, but thanks so much for calling from Ohio.
No worries. You have a good night, all right?
You too. 855-212-4227. You got a couple minutes now to send your questions for Ask Amy Anything. That's straight ahead on Twitter, on Facebook.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
It's an Astros free zone for the next several minutes. No, we're not talking about the Astros during Ask Amy Anything, although it would be kind of a funny alliteration, a funny hashtag. Ask Amy anything about the Astros. No, please no. Thanks as always for your questions. Part of our hump show. And producer Chris has checked out our Twitter and our Facebook, and he's come up with what he thinks are the best. Although I got to tell you, sometimes he asks his own questions because he doesn't like yours. But, you know, that's just our dirty little secret.
Shh, Amy, come on now. We can't reveal how the secret sauce is made.
Huh.
All right. Well, I will start from a question from somebody who did actually send it in, and that would be Tim. And he wants to know, what is the most annoying thing a guest has ever done in your home?
There are so many things. I actually don't mind if people don't, you know, hang up towels or, you know, strip their beds or whatever, whatever. I don't mind cleaning up after people when they leave. That's no big deal. I don't even care if you don't do your own dishes, whatever. I have a dishwasher. But the one thing that really bothers me is when, and this has happened a couple times with guys. Okay, so my brother's done it, although I think he's gotten better now. But I also had this friend, Matt, who stayed with me for, I don't know, 3 or 4 days. And I warned him that if you don't tuck in the shower curtain in the front edge of the tub, that the entire bathroom would flood with water. And the last day he was with me, he forgot or didn't care or something. And he takes a shower. He's all ready to go or going to do something. I don't remember what. And I walk into the bathroom and the entire bathroom floor is completely covered with water. So not only did he not care the entire time he was in the shower, but when he got out of the shower, somehow he didn't notice that the mat was completely wet, that the entire bathroom floor had water over it. So I think that to me was probably the worst. I had to clean up a flood because how do you get out of the shower, step on a mat that's completely soaked, walk into the spare bedroom to get changed and get ready and not notice that the bathroom is turned into a lake? I mean, I don't know how that happens, but that was probably one of the worst.
It's like the people who leave piles of clothes all over their floor and you walk into the room and you can't even step because there's socks and t-shirts.
Well, I don't invite people to stay that long. Yeah, that doesn't happen in my house because after a while, I'm ready for you to leave.
Oh, fair enough. We'll go to Brian next, who wants to know, what was your first car?
A Nissan Sentra. It was actually my first car, my second car, and my third car. So when I learned how to drive, I was 16. I was growing up in New Hampshire. My mom made me learn how to drive a stick and learn how to drive in snow before I could get my license. So I did that. And then we had a Nissan Sentra. That one died. We got another Nissan Sentra. That one we traded in for another Nissan Sentra, none of which had air condition, all of which were stick shifts. So that was the first car I drove, the second car I drove, and the third car I drove.
We'll go to another Tim next. He says, now, our listeners will have to get this from earlier in the show. I hope they do. Listen here, radio lady. Just kidding.
Listen here, baseball commissioner.
That's right.
Leave it to LeBron.
Besides Penny, how many pets have you had?
As an adult or in my entire life?
I think he wants to know the full gamut.
Oh, wow. That's I don't even remember all the pets. We got my first pet ever as a kid when I was 7, I think. And it was a cat named Patches, who was really my cat. She loved me. She would, you know, she'd follow me around. She'd sleep with me. She was my responsibility. I had to clean her cat litter. So first chore that I ever had when I was 7 years old was scooping cat litter. And she lived to be nearly 25 by the time. Now, I didn't have her. My mom had her. I'd already moved out. But
25?
Yeah, it was amazing. By the time she died, and she did die, they didn't have to put her down. But by the time she died, she really couldn't do anything except for sleep on the heater. That's all she did. She might get up and try to get to the litter box, but she never really made it. So the poor thing, she was ready to go. 25 years old. Amazing. And so she was my first pet. We also had couple of different Australian shepherds, one of whom got hit by a car when I was 13, right out in front of our house. It was devastating. Oh my gosh, it was terrible. That was my first experience with the death of a pet. It was just awful. We had a couple of Australian shepherds and a couple of Siberian huskies, also wonderful, but they were outdoor dogs. They stayed outside. We had a couple of German shepherds, Hondo and Lacey. Those were their names. They weren't my dogs. Those were my stepdad's dogs, but they were both German shepherds. So we had dogs my whole life, as well as this one cat, Patches, that just, she lived on forever. Since I became an adult, I had a cat named Cookie. She was black and white, looked like a Holstein cow. I originally adopted her for my grandmother because my grandmother wanted a cat. But unfortunately, Cookie was a little bit too young when I gave her to my grandmother. This is my maternal grandmother. And I almost hate telling the story because I feel so guilty. She tripped over the cat and fell down the stairs. Thankfully, my grandmother was fine, but it was really traumatic. And so she gave the cat back to me. But that was then my first adult cat. She got sick at 11, and I finally had to put her down. She got an autoimmune disease, and it was really sad. I finally had to put her down at 11. Cried and cried and cried and cried and cried, of course. And now I've got three pets that I've had not quite since Cookie died, but Ellie, I got at 3 weeks old. That cat turns 18 in a month, so she's still with me. Yeah, I don't know what it is about me and my cats. I have another cat named Sugar who is the mouser. She's the most annoying thing ever. She never stops talking. Oh, hello, Kettle. You're black. And she's 10. And then I have Penny, who is my first ever dog as an adult. So first dog I've ever taken care of on my own. I've had Penny for 8 years.
And the most famous After Hours member of the family.
Well, she's the most famous dog ever. Next to Lassie, I mean.
And I'm biased, but I will say the cutest out of all the pets.
She is cute. And we are going to smuggle her in here at some point. Maybe I'll fake it. Something along the lines of, boss, I couldn't leave her at home. She wasn't feeling well. I don't know. We're going to do this. We're going to get this dog in here at some point. Even if all we do is smuggle her in, take a picture, and smuggle her out. You know the security guards in the lobby love me. I'm sure they love you guys too. But they really love me. And so they wouldn't have any problem with me bringing the dog in.
When they're awake, I'll say it again. If they're awake.
I mean, yeah. But Penny will follow me anywhere. So she'd follow me right through those security gates. And she's not a big fan of moving. Like, so I once took her on a train and she got a little scared. She loves the car though. So I could bring her in the car, bring her up here in the elevator really quickly, take some photos, let the dog take a nap. Take her downstairs. The boss would be none the wiser. Unless, of course, somebody tattled. Snitches.
Snitches.
Hey, Nick Markakis thinks the Astros need a beating. Well, snitches, you tell on me and Penny, you get a beating as well.
And Dave's contribution to the proceedings, he did look it up. The oldest living cat he could find was 38 years old.
What? Come on, that can't be a real house cat. That's insane.
Google. Domestic cat owned by a gentleman in Texas. It's a Guinness World Record, I think.
Is the cat still alive, or the cat was 38 when it died?
Was 38. Yeah, oh, I'd have to see, gosh, about currently living, but yeah.
My mother doesn't like it when I tell her that Penny and her are essentially the same age, because you know dogs age like 7 years to every person year. So right now, Penny's 10 and a half, and she's essentially the same age as my mom. She doesn't think that's funny. But yeah, Penny's... So this is hard because I have three pets that now are 10 or older, and I dread the days when I will either have to put them down or say goodbye to them. But I know it's a part of life. I have some friends. I don't know if you guys are like this. I don't think so. Well, Chris, you don't have any pets, do you? You and your dad don't have any pets?
I do not, no.
Dave has two dogs.
Two dogs.
And I know that I have some friends, maybe you guys do too, who say that it's not worth the pain to have the pets because you get so attached to them and eventually you lose them. But I choose to do it anyway. I cry like a baby every time it happens, but I still say it's worth the time you have with them.
I don't know. Yeah, I lost a cat a couple of years ago, and it was one of the hardest things I've ever gone through. But
yeah,
the love you have for an animal, you can't compare it.
No, I agree. They're family members. They're furry family members.
And there is a 31-year-old living cat right now.
What? Where?
I don't know. It didn't say, but 31.
Google some more.
We cover all your feline needs here on Ask Amy Anything. We will go to Eugene next, who says, Amy, I recently found your show after changing work hours to help care for a sick family member. I saw your post supporting hashtag Play4K. How has your life been touched by breast cancer? Thank you for supporting a great cause.
Well, I'm sure my story is not all that different from many of your stories out there. Breast cancer is one that is very prevalent and touches, I mean, every female in some way. And of course, the men that are in our lives. My grandmother on my mom's side survived breast cancer, so she's a survivor. And she got it back in the 70s where there really wasn't the same type of treatment as you have now. And this was before I was around, but she had, I think she had a double mastectomy. And then she lived until she was 91, praise Jesus. So she had breast cancer. And so because of that, my mom and I are really vigilant about getting tested, about getting mammograms, because it runs in the family and it's on my mom's side. I also have a family member now who's going through breast cancer. I mean, she's a family member by marriage, but it's her second time going through breast cancer. And so we're praying for her. She's just about to start chemotherapy. And then I have friends that are younger than me who are battling breast cancer. I have one who just went through a surgery on February 14th. And if you don't know, Play for K refers to Kay Yao, the legendary Hall of Fame NC State women's basketball coach, who battled breast cancer four times before she passed away. And she's the reason why women's basketball has these pink weekends. You know, they do pink outs. So Columbia University, which is the basketball team I work for now, they had their pink game on Friday. So instead of dressing for Valentine's Day on Friday night on TV, I dressed in all pink. If you haven't seen the photo, it's on my Twitter, A-Law Radio. Here, I'll retweet it. But I was decked out in my obnoxious pink. I did speak to Kay Yao on my previous network a couple months before she died, and she was gracious and her spirit was strong. And in her name, college basketball has raised nearly $8 million for breast cancer research. So her legacy lives on.
Awesome cause. Thank you, Eugene, for your question. Let's finish on a lighter note. It is always football season, even when it's not. So Adam wants to know, which do you prefer out of the standalone games, Thursday, Sunday, or Monday night football?
All right, so we're not talking about Sunday during the day. We're talking about either Thursday night, Sunday night, or Monday night. Interesting question. I'll go Sunday night because I'm in football mode and we come in right after that. I don't mind Monday night football. I think I've not been a huge fan of the announcer combinations they've had lately, but that doesn't really take away from it. I do like Sunday night football because I like Al and Chris. I think they're highly entertaining. Thursday night football is a good way to start off the weekend as well, though. So I guess if I had to choose, give me Sunday because it's kind of a good way to cap what is my favorite day of the week in the fall and the winter. Thanks for your questions. Always good to talk to you. We've got 1 hour to go. Our hump show, if you're just waking up on your Wednesday morning, get out of bed, sleepyhead. It's your hump day. Always good to talk to you. After Hours with Amy Lawrence here on CBS Sports Radio.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.